eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
In God's presence, there is always fullness of joy. And when I hear that, what comes to mind most times is, you know, we're all gathered here, and just picture each person coming with their own little light. Imagine that it's pitch dark here at night, and just one person comes in with their little candle. It will brighten up the place, but just a little bit. Then when every single one of us here come with a candle each, you will be amazed at how bright it will be. And you're going to be asking yourself, did somebody turn on the light? We always experience that, if you remember, when we have the carols by candlelight. We turn off all the lights and we're just using the candles. That's what comes to mind in us gathering in God's presence. Every one of us coming with their own light, coming with their own joy, coming with their own smile, coming with their own praise. And when we add it all together, it's like a potluck, more than enough to go around and fill everyone. So if you came here today feeling a bit low because it's been challenging all week and trying, I just want you to take a moment and leave it out somewhere, throw it out the door, and then just pick up joy. Pick up joy. If you don't have enough, I'm sure there's more than enough here to go around. Just join your faith with everyone else's faith and find joy. Be determined to find joy in God's presence. It's beautiful to, you know, see everyone gathered. And one other thing that comes to mind is, we are here to give thanks to God. And thanksgiving is an act of worship in itself. So open up your hearts, ready to give God thanks. And as you give him thanks, it becomes worship. Again, today is our giving service. Come with a heart that is ready to give God your joy, your praise, everything that you do today and you give to the Lord. Let it come from a place of joy, a place of gratitude. And God will be so honored to see all of his children bringing praise his way. So welcome to church this morning. And I pray and hope that every one of us leave here full of joy because we're in God's presence. Amen. Amen. So I will just run through a brief announcement. And that's to remind us that all of this week, we are having the week of prayer. And it's going to be taking place from Tuesday to Friday and in the mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. each of these days. And we're meeting right here in the sanctuary. So we welcome every one of us who can make it and invite people and let's just come here and spend time to pray together and to pour out our hearts before God all through this week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Tuesday is 1st of July, so all the way to 4th of July. Now, the birthday box. So if there's anybody, it's just sad that we adults don't get to pick something from the box because I know that it's going to be fun. We'll fish out one thing or the other. And the teenagers are usually shy, but it's okay. If you have celebrated your birthday, in the past week, or your birthday is today, or you're going to celebrate your birthday in the course of the coming week, just raise your hands up so that we can celebrate you. Anybody? I can only see the fans going. No birthdays. Whose birthday? Oh, okay. Even among the adults, if you have your birthday, can we just see your hand so we can celebrate with you? No adults celebrating? Oh, I just saw Beth kept pointing this way. Oh, wow. Who? Oh, really? Hi, Pat. Happy birthday. We celebrate you. We celebrate you, Terry. God bless you. Okay. What's your name?
Joshua. How old are you?
Turning 9. Wow, that's big. How, are you excited about it? Oh, wow. Okay, so go with excitement and do something you like. And we're going to sing and celebrate with you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you.
Congratulations. Okay. God bless you. And we just pray God's blessings over anyone else who may be celebrating anything else, your wedding anniversaries, whatever else you're celebrating. We just release a blessing over you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll just go through the scriptures. And Father God, we pray that your word will sink deep into our hearts and it will give us a sense of hope. We're reading from Psalm 100 from verse 1 to 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I love that it's captioned here, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we just come here into your presence with thanksgiving. We give you praise from the depths of our hearts, Father. We come before you and we say, oh God, we are nothing, oh God, but tools in your hands that you will use to do your own good work in the lives of people around us, whilst you also work in our lives. As we gather here today, oh God, we surrender ourselves afresh to you. We say, Father God, come use us. Come speak your words to us. Come teach us more about you. Take over our lives, oh God. We invite you to take center place in our lives. Father God, we pray that whatever situations we may be dealing with that sometimes may want to compete with your presence in our lives, Father, today we surrender them anew to you. And we say, oh God, we lay all of our burdens down at your feet. And at any point in time when we don't even know what to do and how to go about it, Father, help us to remember to just continue to cast our cares, our burdens, our worries, our anxieties, to cast them before you. And Father, as we cast them before you, oh God, we receive your joy in exchange, and we come with that joy to give you thanks, to give you praise, to give of ourselves, to give of our resources, to give of our time. And we pray, oh God, that as we do all of this together here in your presence, we will be blessed because we did. Thank you, Father, because we know that your presence is here. Thank you for always honoring us with your presence. Father, we ask that throughout the service, every single part of it will speak specially and specifically to every single one of us. You will meet us at the point of our needs, and our hearts will give you joy that cannot be held back. Father, we just bless you. Come have your way. Come take your place. Come and do what you alone knows to do. And at the end, let your name alone be glorified. To you be all glory, all honor, all praise, and all adoration. Thank you, Father. Come take your place. Come have your way. Take full sway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing a couple of songs now. Blessed be your name, and I speak to you.
Streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though it's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Is it, Lord? Still I will say, blessed be the take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Jesus, over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus. So every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name, 'cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like the fire. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. To every heart captured by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness. Over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness. Over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Thank you, God. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
For nearly 160 years, next year, the Lord has kept this church to be, amen, to be a beacon of light in this town, to be light bearers for Jesus Christ, and to share the good news of Jesus with this world, to let everyone know that Jesus saves. That has been the mission of the church over these past 160 years. And as Cresta mentioned at the start of the service, we have so much to be thankful for as a church. God has kept us, he has sustained us, and through the generosity of members gone by and members present, through the gifts and through those who have served in many different capacities, the Church of the Lord Jesus is still thriving for business. Amen. Amen. And on this, our giving day, we're just going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving to God because he has been so good to us. And just like he has kept us all these years and various different ministers and diaconates and members, we believe that if the Lord should delay his return, and, you know, we're living in challenging times, some would argue that it's the last day, but we're grateful that God will continue to keep us, to sustain us, and he will give us all that we need so that we can be effective for him in this generation. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray. And if you want to join me, if anyone wants to just raise their voices and offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for all that he's done for us. And as we give today to furtherance the work of the Lord Jesus here in this place, we're just going to give thanks to God for all that he has done for us and all that he will continue to do for us in this place. Amen? Amen. So let's offer our thanks to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because you are a great provider. No one can provide like you. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings in our lives, our families, and how, Lord, you have sustained us individually But Lord, we also thank you that you have preserved and you have maintained your church. You promised all those years ago to your disciples that you would build your church, and you gave them a cast iron guarantee that not even the gates of hell would be able to prevail against your church. And we thank you that thousands of years later, we still see your church open for business, glorifying you, and seeing many more come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we thank you so, so much. And we pray that you will continue to provide for us. We know, Lord, that ministry that is extensive is also expensive. It takes resources. It takes, Lord, finances, Lord, to do your work. But we thank you that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches that is in glory through Christ Jesus. So we know, Lord, that we have nothing to fear, that you will give us all that we need so that your work can continue to go on for your glory and for your honor. We thank you so much, Lord, for the spiritual work, Lord, for the practical work in this place. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the refurbishments, Lord, in the sanctuary, Lord, that is now 50% done. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you so much for Huss and for Bradley and for the team, Lord, that are working so hard, Lord, to renovate this sanctuary for your glory and for your honor. And we pray, Lord, that as we complete the work, just like you were with Nehemiah and those Israelites as they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Lord, we believe by faith that you're going to give us everything that we need so that this place, Lord, will be fit for purpose to give your name the praise and all the honor. But most of all, Lord, we don't just want to see bricks and mortar being refurbished, but we want to see lives being changed. We want to see more people baptized. We want to see more people brought out of darkness and into your marvelous light. So we thank you for the spiritual work that will continue to be done in this place, and that ultimately it will not be about us, but your name. Your name alone will be glorified in everything that we say and do. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to read a few verses from the Bible before we have one more song before Alan comes to preach this morning. And as we, throughout the entire day, both in the morning service and also in the evening, we're concentrating on the theme of giving, giving of our treasure, but also giving of ourselves in worship and in devotion to God. And Jesus has something interesting to say here in Luke chapter 6. We're going to read this together. Luke chapter 6 from verse number 27. Let's read together. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Ah! It's one thing to say, isn't it? Someone slaps you around the face, turn the other cheek. Oh dear, what a challenge, eh? Let's go on. Verse 30. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And verse number 37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And our final verse, verse 38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Amen. That is the challenge and the high bar that Jesus expects of his disciples, that we are to have that sacrificial and giving heart and spirit, not just to those who love us, not just to those who smile at us, not just to those who are kind to us, but the challenge from Jesus is that we are called to go beyond, above and beyond, even to those who perhaps don't even like us, those who even despise us. Jesus says we ought to love everyone and even give to our enemies if they have a need. That is the challenge that our Jesus expects of us. And I pray, myself included, that we would strive to get to that high bar, because that's what Jesus wants of us. Amen? Amen. We're going to have just one more song, The Goodness of God. God has been so good to us. And then Alan is going to come and share God's word with us. Oh, yes. Sorry. I'm moving too far. We're going to have a testimony afterwards. And then...
Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in you the goodness of God. So of the goodness.
To share testimony with us. We're going to pray for our children and young people. We're going to dismiss them to their groups. We thank God for all of our young people who are with us today. And we pray that they will have a wonderful time in their groups. Lord, we thank you for the children and for all the young people here today. We thank you for all the teachers, Lord, and all the assistants, all those who serve, Lord. We thank you for their contribution, Lord, to your ministry here at SBC. And we pray that they will have a wonderful, wonderful time in their groups, learning more about you, more of your goodness, more of your love, and more of your word. May they have a wonderful time now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful time, young people, children. Amen. We're going to be blessed now by one of our deacons who's going to come and share testimony on the theme of giving on this giving day.
Up to you.
Good morning, church. I have to keep an eye on the time because I am really shy, believe it or not. And I actually asked Nathan if I could come and share a quick testimony with you on giving. So I always start with the end and say, God is good all the time. And he's plugged me into and everyone who is in Christ, living water. So what we give out always comes back to us and there's always more. And our house serves the Lord. So if anyone wants to come and talk to us after, please do. And all is welcome in our house. And for those that have been already, you know that is true. So giving. Oh, man, I don't know about anybody else, but I used to. When I was a born-again Christian, I started to read the Bible and I was blessed. I was absolutely blessed with strong, godly women around me who would teach me and gave me a lot of correction. And gradually I learned I had to lay it all down to God in the morning. So every morning I would pray, I would read the Bible, I would meditate, I would follow the instructions and the direction of these women. And I would lay down, Lord, I lay my life down at the altar, I lay my husband down, my children, and then it came to money, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I can lay my money down, I haven't got enough. And not at the time, both of us were working, but my mind's telling me we haven't got enough to lay down. And to be honest, you know, I had quite a lot of fear about that, because in my past, you know, I'd been financially exploited by people that loved me. I was also, like every one of you, you know, exposed to media news. And I'd see things like pastor buys private jet. Nathan hasn't got a jet, by the way. And, you know, and then I would worry about the misuse of funds. I really, really would worry. And but you know what? God is so gracious, and he was so gracious and patient and loving and tolerant. He meets you where you're at. And what he said to me was, you know, Nicola, come as you are. And then one morning, I'd prayed on what scripture to read, and I had my plan in mind. And he put, and luckily it's in your program as well, he put Malachi on my heart, 3:10. And if anyone hasn't read it, read it. Read it and hear it and let it resonate in your heart. And I thought, gosh, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. But something kept driving me, and it was the Holy Spirit was saying, trust me, have faith. If we trust and have faith, we have to live in obedience. And my worldly flesh doesn't like that. And I kept looking at it, and then I was convicted, and I thought, right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Oh, I can't give a tenth. And then I thought, that's Old Testament. We're not under Old Testament. But that's my story. And I went around and around, and I landed with this. I sat there, and I went, God is either everything or he is nothing. Jesus is either Lord or he isn't. Is he Lord of all, Nicola? Yes, he's Lord of all. And I sat there and I prayed and I said, Lord Jesus, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. And I cried because I was so fearful to trust. I'd never fully given my trust. And I said, tell me what you want me to do. And I thought he'd start with a little bit. No, he didn't. He wanted the tenth of my salary. And I thought, oh, Lord, how am I going to tell my husband this? So I plucked up the courage, ran downstairs, and I said, I don't care what you say. The Holy Spirit says I'm going to give a tenth of my salary. And I expected him to go, no, we can't afford it. And he went, it's all right, babe. Do whatever's on your heart. He's not like me, Hussein. He's more obedient than me. So anyway, then it came to doing it, and I did it. And I just kept reading the word, and I stood on the truth. You can't say I'm half in and half out. A godly lady once said, how do you take your coffee? I take my coffee hot. You know, God wants us to be on fire for him. You know, he loves a cheerful giver. And that's what I did. And I started off with doing that. I was full of fear, and all day, you know, our adversary would keep poking me, but I just kept saying, get behind me, get behind me. And I kept on doing it. That was the start of my journey. You know, let me tell you about the end of our journey, living water. I was often told that he will always give you what you need. And in Malachi, God said, test me. I thought we wasn't allowed to test him. I thought, am I allowed? So I checked it out. You're allowed to test him. So I did. And he said, and see if I don't rain down a blessing on you until there is no more need. And that's what I did. And I kept on going. And now, you know, we're not allowed to let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. But when we give with a loving, generous heart. It's always more. God always shows us where the need is. He always tells us how he wants us to bless others, because we all need a blessing. Hussein and I have been so blessed. We've been in positions before where we are living hand to mouth. That's not our story today, by God's grace, you know, because we trust in him. And I said to Nathan, I wanted to tell you all of this to encourage you, you know, that this is the truth. This is the word of God. You know, if you give your life to Jesus, you will never be without, you will lack nothing. You will never be thirsty again, you know, and that has been our experience. And today and every month, you know, we're prayerful. We have our regulars, of course, but we're prayerful. And we always say, Father God, who needs to hear from you this month? Who needs that worry to be turned away? And he always tells us, and it just makes me so tearful, because he's so generous, our Father, and we never go without, and it's all by his grace. So I just wanted to share that, you know, everything we've sung about today. I speak Jesus to the best of my ability, though I'm told, you know, it's progress, not perfection, you know, but faith without works is dead. So that's why I wanted to come up and share with you. I'm going to leave it there because I am cooking me grits, as you can see. But if anyone wants to know more, please come and talk to us, and everyone is welcome at our house. We can't fit you in all at once, but we would love to have you and talk to you about our journey more. And I'm going to leave it there. God bless you all.
We are a multi-generational church, and we give God thanks for that. We have people who love the old school just like me, and we have new school, and we have new songs, old songs, and we're a church that's evolving and developing in terms of our collection of songs. We love the traditional hymns, but we're trying to bring in some new songs as well into the congregation for those who like some of the new songs. But just before Alan comes, I think it will be fitting if we sing a hymn, because we haven't had a morning hymn so far. So we're going to sing a few lines of this song that just fits in with what Nicola has shared with us. And it says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So we're just going to sing a few lines. And we didn't plan to do this, as usual with me, So the band, we haven't prepared this, so we're going to do a few lines of this. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Yes, while we do. While we do his good will, he abides.
He abides with us still,
and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. One more time. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey.
Alan's coming to greet.
Thank you very much, Nathan and Nicola, and those who have taken part in the first part of our service. I want to read a few verses from 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. That's Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath, the region of Sidon, and stay there. I've instructed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar? May I have a drink? She was going to get it. He called, bring me, please, a piece of bread. As sure as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar, a little olive oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that I may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry till the day the Lord sends rain on this land. I was 15 years old, and the church in which I worshipped was falling down. It was one of those old tin tabernacles, and it was helped in its way by the Second World War bomb that landed the street outside and blew one of the walls out. Anyway, the church was well past its sell-by date, and we needed a new church. So we got on our hands and knees, and we prayed. In those days, even the youth was expected to attend the weekly prayer meeting. And then out of the blue, the minister got a phone call. Would you like a new church? A Christian businessman had phoned, and God had told him to use his money to build a new church. And God had chosen our church for that recipient of that money. It wasn't the only church he built, but ours was one of them. And so for 6 months, we decamped to the Romery Barracks down the road. So while Mars was serving Queen and country, we were worshipping in his garrison church. And then at the end of the 6 months, we got a brand new church. Now, I wasn't old enough to be a member at the time, so I don't know whether we got a whole new free church or whether we contributed something to it. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. 6 years later, I was worshipping a large Anglican church in the north of England. There's nothing wrong with the church, 800-seater, solid Victorian building. But the church had grown so much numerically, the church hall was far too small for all the church's activities. So the church held a weekend of prayer. At the end of the weekend of prayer, the members had subscribed enough money to build a new church hall. My God, supply all your needs, according to his riches, in Christ Jesus. Sometimes he does so miraculously. Sometimes he does so by putting it into the hearts of the people to give. So I've been asked this morning to speak about giving, and also look at some of the misconceptions which Christians may have about this subject of giving. Should a Christian tithe, that is, give one-tenth of their income to the Lord's work? Is that just an Old Testament idea that we can safely discard? How should we give? When should we give? The church also is not like a cinema or a theatre where you pay your money and sit back to be entertained. The church also wants our service. One of these subjects I've preached on this church before is why bother to come to church if I can watch the service on Facebook. The basic answer to that is yes, you can worship on YouTube, I often do. Yes, you can listen to the sermon on Facebook, and I often do when I'm away. But you can't serve God on Facebook. That requires your physical presence in the church to serve God in the particular service that he has called you to. So how much should a Christian give to the Lord? Should the Christian tithe? To understand this, we need to look at what the Old Testament tithe was and what its purpose was. When Joshua divided up the promised land amongst the different tribes of Israel, he didn't give any land to the priests and the Levites. This is because he intended them to lead the worship, first of all, the tabernacle, and later in the temple. He didn't want them to be distracted by having to plough the fields or look after animals. And so God instituted the tithe, that every man had to give one-tenth of his produce initially, by the end of Deuteronomy, it had been transferred to a money payment, in order to pay the priests and the Levites. By Deuteronomy 26, the scope of the tithe had actually increased to give to the poor, the widows, and the fatherless. In other words, more general charitable giving. For the time of Jesus, it actually changed again for the physical upkeep of the temple building. Indeed, Jesus referred to it as being the temple tax. So that's what the tithe was actually for. And when you think, the money we put in the collection plate each Sunday, or give by standing order, has very much the same sort of purpose. To pay minister's salary and the other church employees, to pay for the day-to-day running expenses of this church, to give away some of the money to the poor and the needy. One of the best decisions the church ever made, in my view, to give away 10% of our income to various organisations outside of the church. And of course also to pay for the upkeep of the church building. Jesus never criticised the tithe. What he did criticise was the attitude of some of the people who gave their tithe. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint and dill and cumin, but you neglect the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. So yes, they gave, they tithed regularly. But the Pharisees simply content with observance, with ritualistic, and thought that was enough to satisfy God. Of course, it wasn't. In the story of the rich young ruler, The ruler asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, "Keep the law." And the man's response was, "I give tithes of all that I possess," as if that was enough. Simple keeping the law was enough to give him eternal life. Jesus very soon disabused him of that particular idea. There was more to gaining eternal life than simply putting money in the treasury. By the time we get to the New Testament, there's actually a sea change in this business of tithing. Because it's not so much how much, not so much how much people gave, but the attitude behind the giving. Jesus praised the widow's mite. But he didn't say no to all the rich people who shoved gold and silver into the temple treasury. As a church, we value all that you give, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. But Paul particularly speaks in 2 Corinthians about the attitude behind our giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6. "He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever gives generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And there are two aspects of giving in that particular verse: generously and cheerfully. Emphasis on the attitude of the giver, not the amount given. Therefore, we should give cheerfully. We are not paying council tax. Who enjoys paying council tax? Anybody here who say the council's doing a great job? I've not seen a pottle for 30 seconds. I want to give the council more than they're demanding. Nobody does, do they? They give not cheerfully. When we give to the church, we know that the money will be used in the Lord's service to help those who are worse off than we are. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And if we give generously, we will also reap generously, as Nicholas said in Sesame earlier on this morning. Personally, I've tithed for the majority of my Christian life. Now, not because I have to, because I think that is a reasonable amount to set aside for the Lord's work. Others may differ in this, it's absolutely fine. We're not under Old Testament compulsion, we're under New Testament grace. And I can honestly say that I've never been in want or lacked anything that I needed. You can claim that promise: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." If you put God first, then God will meet your every need. You may say, "Well, I can't afford to tithe. I'm on universal credit or unemployment benefit or a state pension." And that's why at the beginning of this message, I read the story of the widow of Zarephath from 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, she was really poor. In ancient times, there was no pension, there was no universal credit, there was no state support. The woman was supported by her husband. And if she didn't have a husband, if she was a widow, then there was no one to support her. And therefore, this widow was about to cook her last meal, and then she was going to die. There's no one in this congregation in that situation. You'll go home, you'll have your Sunday dinner. There's no one who's going to go home, I suggest, to eat their last slice of bread and then die of starvation. It's not going to happen. So you're not as poor as this widow of Zarephath. Yet along comes Elijah and asks for a meal. She didn't say no. In the wonderful act of generosity, she gives to him what she has. And then comes the miracle. The flour never ran out. The oil never ran out. Now, in my experience, I have found the more you give to God, the more you've got left. Now, I can't explain that. I can't explain it any more than I explain the widow of Zarephath, or how Jesus managed to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But I found it to be true. I'm sure that Nicola would echo that particular sentiment. God can take a little gift and turn it into something very much greater. It's interesting to know that giving is listed as a spiritual gift in Romans 12:8. And that is a very useful spiritual gift. Because people don't naturally like to give money away. The whole emphasis of the world today is getting as much money as possible. Hence the national lottery and quiz shows and the addiction to gambling. It requires a change of heart by the power of the Holy Spirit to want to give generously and cheerfully. It's not something that the natural man wants to do. The principle laid down in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16, on the first day of the week, each one of you set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so when I come, no collections have to be made. Now today, most of us are paid monthly rather than weekly, but the teaching is the same. Our giving should be both regular and proportionate. On the first day of the week, a sum of money in keeping with your income. And regular giving, indeed regular budgeting, is an important part of our own personal lives and also in the life of the church. It's much easier for our treasurer if there is a predictable amount of money coming in each month. Because while most things, like the minister's salary, for example, is regular, there are also other things, like refurbishing the church, which in fact are much less regular. But if people give regularly, then the money is there. It's some 40 years ago since we abolished passing around the collection bags in this church. And as you can imagine, at the church members' meeting, there was a considerable discussion on the merits and demerits of abolishing the weekly offering. The main argument in favour of keeping the bags was that it was part of our worship. Giving our money to Jesus was just as much worship as singing, praying, reading the Bible and studying God's word. But in spite of that, the voters to get rid of the collection bags, and nowadays, of course, in these days of standing orders and direct debits and internet banking, collection bags seem rather superficial. I do sometimes attend churches where the bag still comes round, often find that I'm not prepared because I haven't got any cash on me. Fortunately, Rich has dealt with that situation over there, if that applies to anybody within this church. So to whom should we give? Well, in the Old Testament, the tithe went to the Levites, and they sorted the money out. So should we give all our money to the church and trust the deacons to sort it out? I don't think so. Because the Old Testament tithe had this purpose of maintaining the work of the temple, but also helping the poor. Now, I give the majority of my money to this church, because I think that is right. I give a portion to the church where I normally worship on a Sunday morning, because I find the service here far too loud, I'm afraid. And I give some to the BMS and various other Christian charities. It's scriptural. If we see a brother or a sister in need, then we should meet that particular need. So what should our attitude to money be? This is summarised in Luke chapter 3, in one of the very rare doctrinal teachings of John the Baptist. And in Luke chapter 3 and verse 11, we read this. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none. Anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you require, he told them. Some soldiers asked him, what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely and be content with your pay." The three principles here of budgeting. The first is that we should share what we have with the needy. That's verse 11. We should seek to share what we have with those who have less than us, whether they're Syrian refugees, African famine victims, or a fellow church member who has a particular need. That's the principle behind the food bank, of course, we have it.
Not only should you be helping someone who is in need, be a joy to the Christian, it's also very often a means of bringing somebody to Christ. For Christians, our money is not exclusively ours to spend. The second principle in verse 13 is to be honest in our financial dealings, because the tax collectors, of course, in Jesus' time were notorious for their dishonesty. I don't know if you're like me, but from time to time we have workmen in our house, and sometimes they say to me, "You pay me cash and I won't charge you the VAT. The plumber, whatever, does not come with a red face, horns and a tail, but nonetheless, it's Satan tempting us to defraud the inland revenue. And as a Christian, we can't do that. We need to be honest in all our dealings. And if we are, that means we're being honest with God. Don't attempt to shortchange people, is what John is saying. The third one is the hardest. Be content with what you have. Because we live in a society where people always want more. I have a mobile telephone. Yes, I am slightly in the 21st century. 20 quid for the handset and £5 a month for unlimited calls and texts. It does not connect to the internet. It does not make me a cup of coffee. It just makes phone calls and texts. And that's all I want, thank you very much. But of course, the phone company thinks that that really isn't good enough. And tell me, I can save £500 on a new iPhone 360 or whatever it is. 500 quid? What kind of thing cost in the first place, for goodness sake? Maybe some people here who spend £1,000 on a telephone, and good luck to you. But it's not something I'm ever tempted to do. I'm not tempted to upgrade, thank you very much, because I'm content with what I have. And that's a Christian principle. So, do we really need to upgrade that phone, that television, that car? Dare I say it, that sound system? Is it really right for a Christian to spend their money on the latest gadget when the old one works perfectly well? We need to cultivate a need to be satisfied with what we have and not always seek something which is better or the latest model. Nick has already quoted this morning Malachi 3:10, that wonderful promise of God. One of the very few occasions in the Bible where God actually says, if you do this, then I will do that. That's a promise. Verse 11, if you bring in the full tithe, I will pour out such blessing that you will not have room to receive it. And in context, he's talking about finance, not spiritual blessings. If you're short of money, start tithing. And then God will meet your need. I've tried it, I know it works. You try it. And I promise you on the authority of God's word that it will work. So, can you rob God in ways other than failing to put enough in the offering? I believe you can. As we become a member of this church, you make a number of commitments. There are four of these in terms of the church rules. You haven't read the church rules recently. You have to attend the Sunday service. Well, we'll fulfill that when you're all here this morning. You have to undertake some form of service within the church. You have to live a life which is consistent with your Christian profession. And give regularly to the Lord's work. And if you're not doing these things as members of City Point Baptist Church, then I believe you're robbing God what is rightfully his. There is a service within the church that everyone here can perform. For example, for the last few weeks in the church newsletter, Bev has appealed for somebody to wash up the communion glasses after the morning service. Now, this does not require a degree in theology. It requires the willingness to come to church once a month and wash up the communion glasses. It's something which I might suggest that anybody could actually do. So why then is nobody doing it? Perhaps they are. I mean, they may have come to bed in the last week. But certainly last Sunday, the advert was still in the church newsletter. We have to serve. It's not perhaps often realised that the words worship and the words service actually mean the same. Sometimes we call this the morning service, sometimes we call it morning worship. They're interchangeable. And we worship God by serving Him, by serving the fellowship in the way that God has called us, under the guidance and authority of the church leadership. You are a valuable part of the body of Christ, each and every one of you, whether you're young or old, sick or fit, eloquent or not, God has a part for you to play in His life, in the life of the church. We seek to share fully in that honour and responsibility. You're going to, in a moment, sing a hymn. Yes, it's an old hymn. And it's a hymn of dedication. I'm going to read it first. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, some of us are practical, others like me are hopeless. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing ever only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Yes, we can all evangelise. We can all talk about You to other people. And of course the crunch verse. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Yes, giving is part of our worship. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy will for me, to give our hearts fully and wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my love, O Lord, I pour. At Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever, only, all for Thee. Let's sing that hymn together now and let's really mean it as a hymn of dedication. Thank you.
Just before we sing this hymn to God in closing, we would be remiss today if we did, as we've been talking about giving, giving of our finances, giving of ourselves to God, we'll be remiss if we close today. I know it's hot and we need to go, but we would be remiss if we left without giving an opportunity for someone to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because ultimately, God gave everything for us. He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And we can never outgive Him because He has done so much for us. And as we've been challenged today in the area of our giving and our service and our commitment to God, God has been so faithful to us that even while we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. And He's gathering His body, His children, so that they can have a relationship with Him, that they can draw close to Him. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus for yourself, then this will be a wonderful hymn to sing in consecration to offer your life to Him. If there's anyone here today that wants to know Jesus or wants to know more about the faith, anyone who is a believer but not yet baptized by full immersion, then after the service, please come and have a chat with me or one of the deacons, or you can head over to the prayer corner. That's to my right, to your left here on the lower level, and there'll be someone there to pray with you and to talk with you more. So if you need Jesus Christ, if you want to be baptized, or if you have a prayer need, a prayer request, please feel free to meet us after the service in the prayer corner. We'd love to share with you more after the service. Amen? Let's sing together before we close. Take my life and let it be consecrated Lord, to thee. We thank God for this service today. Thank you so much to Alan and to all those who have taken part in the service today. And pray God's blessing over you. Have a wonderful week. And feel free to join us in the lounge for tea and coffee. Now again, let me just remind us, especially as it's such a hot day today, as you're getting your drinks, please feel free to venture back into the sanctuary and come back so we're not overcrowding the church lounge. We want to keep everyone as cool as possible. Amen? Amen. Please look out for part two of our podcast. It's going to be released at the end of this week. And we're talking about the subject of mental health and faith. So please look out for that. If you know anyone who's struggling with mental health issues, then this is going to be a good podcast for people to listen to. Can you be a Christian and still struggle with mental health? So we're going to be dealing with that topic, and we're going to be recording it after this service today, actually. So look out for it at the end of this week, and that's going to be a blessing to you. Amen? Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this service today. And Lord, we pray that will be the refrain of our lives, that you will take our lives, Lord, and let it be consecrated to you, that, Lord, our lives will reflect your grace, your love, your mercy. And we pray that we will continue to offer ourselves to you daily. As Paul says, I die daily, Lord, so I can give my life to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful time of sharing today. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, church. God bless you. Amen.